Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
You know, we are truly blessed. Like Pastor Bob said earlier, we're blessed. We are really blessed. We live in a country where we can do this. We can gather together and we don't have to worry about, you know, cops or the army coming and busting down the doors. We live in a beautiful country. We are blessed, right? And speaking of that word blessed, I hear it a lot. I hear people say, oh, I am blessed and highly favored. Well, what does that really mean? Think about it. Like, seriously, for take a second and think about it. When you think of the word blessed, what do you think of? You know, for some people it may be, oh, well, I'm blessed. I have all that I need. I'm fiscally solvent. I don't have to live paycheck to paycheck. I can pay my bills. I can buy groceries. I can pay rent, whatever. That may be your definition of blessed. Or maybe it's you're living your best life. You've got the girl, you got the guy, you know, you have a great job, you know, good friends. You're blessed, right? Thank you. Oh, y'all, I got the ADD and the bip, in and out drives me nuts. So anyway, so that's what you think of when you hear the word blessed. Or maybe, you know, it's your health. Maybe for you, being blessed has a lot to do with your health. Like you feel good, you're doing good. Maybe you had some battles in your health and you overcome them with Jesus, right? Maybe that's your definition of being blessed. Think about what being blessed means to you. Just think about it. You know, last week, Pastor Bob kicked off our series, Hashtag Blessed. And I always wanted to do Hashtag Blessed, but I told him I wouldn't do it. But I did. Anyway, we kicked off our series last week of Hashtag Blessed. And he talked about, it comes from Matthew chapter 5, right? It's where Jesus is preaching one of his most famous sermons. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he started the Sermon on the Mount off with the Beatitudes, which was basically Jesus telling us how we're truly blessed, right? Pastor Bob did a great job of kicking it off. He talked about the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, poor in spirit, as he showed us, means that we come to that realization when we know we are spiritually bankrupt without Jesus. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. We need Jesus. And when we get to that point where we realize that, then we are truly blessed. Yeah. Well, today, my focus is going to be on Matthew 5, verse 4. Did y'all bring y'all's paper Bibles? Yeah, I knew I was going to say that, right? Bring your paper Bible. Open it up to Matthew, first book of the New Testament. Chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Before I start, let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your kingdom here on earth, Lord. Father, I just thank you for calling us all into your house this morning. You called us to worship and we answered. Thank you for that, Lord. And I pray right now, Father, that you just take control of my mind, my will, my emotions, my vocal cords, the breath in my lungs. I know you gave it to me, Lord. So I pray, take control of it all. I surrender it to you, Father. Speak through me. Get me out of the way, and may your name be made famous, and may every single one of us right now in your house be changed forever by the power of your word, and change us, God, from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So Jesus says that we are blessed when we mourn, because that's when we find comfort. So when you think about mourning, it's usually associated with grief or loss, right? Like someone you love passes away, or maybe, you know, you go through a breakup in a relationship, maybe a divorce, and there's a loss. So there's this period of grief that you go through, and that's associated with those types of losses, right? But mourning in Matthew 5, 4 is referring to something much deeper than that, y'all. You see, mourning when we lose something or someone, that's circumstantial. Something happened, there's a loss, and we're mourning. I'm not trying to minimize that, though. Look, when I was 25 years old, my dad died suddenly. And that was devastating for me. I mean, I spent a lot of years really mourning. It's not that I was incapacitated over it, but I really was grieving heavy for years. It took me a really long time to move past that grief and mourning, but I eventually moved on with my life. It doesn't mean I don't miss my dad. I think about him every day. And I'm certainly, again, not minimizing the pain and the suffering associated with the loss of someone you love. But the point is, we usually get past the pain of that loss and we move on. We move on with our lives. So in Matthew 5, Jesus isn't talking about mourning in that sense of the word. Jesus is referring to a deep sorrow in your heart. He's talking about being broken over sin. You know, after service last Sunday, when we had our first building blocks group, I love that group. And you guys really, if you haven't gotten, you need to stay. It's a good group. So when we were going through the group, some of the people in the group, some of y'all, talked about how you came to Jesus, that moment that you realized that you needed Jesus in your life. Now, some people call it a salvation moment. Some people call it a testimony. Whatever you want to call it, it's that moment when you surrender your life to Jesus. You realize you can't figure this out anymore. You can't change, and you know you need Jesus. And as I was listening to those salvation stories, I realized that everything had one thing in common. Every single story involved a genuine brokenness in their heart, a brokenness about the condition of the heart. That brokenness is a type of mourning, and the Bible calls it godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. You know, in 2 Corinthians 7:10, the Apostle Paul describes it like this. He says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Godly sorrow is different from worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow is circumstantial. Something happened, we're mourning. It could be mourning over the death of someone or the loss, but it could also, worldly sorrow could also be mourning or grieving over you getting caught. You know, when we mess up and we get caught and we're like, oh man, you feel bad. But is it going to lead to salvation? That's worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow is the sadness that we feel in our hearts, deep in our hearts, when we realize this one thing, that sin separates us from God. And we're genuinely sorry, and we want to be with him. We want that close relationship with him. So godly sorrow leads us to repentance. Let me tell you what that means. Repentance is a decision that we're done. We're done with that. We're going to stop doing it, and we're going to turn back to God. And that leads to godly sorrow. That leads to the life that Paul is talking about, eternal life. Worldly sorrow does not bring eternal life. We have to get to that point where we're broken by sin, where we see it as evil. We have to see sin as evil, y'all. You know why? Because it separates us from God. And when we get to that point, but we don't want nothing to do with it anymore, that's godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is a state of being, y'all. It's more than just a salvation moment of repentance and accepting Jesus into your heart. It's a heart posture that is broken by sin, and that's what makes it tender towards the things of God. We got to get to that point. We got to get to that point. And you know what? A lot of Christians, they're not really there yet. They're not. It was so quiet in here. That's right. That's okay. I'm a preacher. But we got to get to that point. A lot of Christians aren't there. In fact, one of the biggest issues facing the church right now is that there's not a real understanding of the impact of sin. Y'all, I wish I had a cupcakes and rainbow message for y'all. It seems like I get the hard ones, but you know what? Here we go. Here we go again. It's okay. It's okay. Some of y'all look like y'all want to throw up or run out that door. Hang on a minute. Let me just lighten it up a little bit. Okay. Okay. Have any of you ever heard of Marie Kondo? Not talking about Marie Callender, that's the pie lady. Marie Kondo. Okay, so if you haven't, let me just tell you who she is. She's this really cute little Japanese lady. She has a show on Netflix, and she talks about getting rid of clutter in our lives. And she has this really kind of weird wackadoodle mantra that she says. She says, if something doesn't bring you, or if something no longer brings you joy, then you should thank it for the time that you had with it. I know, right? And then let it go. That's exactly what I did. I laughed. I say, what? That is crazy. I don't know about that thank you for the time you had with it business. But the point is, if you've got clutter in your life, it's probably robbing you of joy, right? So you need to get rid of it. Okay, so with that in mind, a few years ago, I don't know, we came back from a trip or something, and we had suitcases. And so I go in our closet, and I'm trying to find where to put the suitcases, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much junk in here, right? And that's a problem, y'all, because if you know, our closet is huge. So for us not to have room to just put suitcases up, there was too much stuff in there. There were things that I needed to get rid of. So I'm struggling and no joy. So I tell Pastor Bob, I said, hey, babe, hey, give me some trash bags. We're going to go Marie Kondo on the closet. And he's so funny. He says, look, I don't know who that is, but that sounds like a lot of work, and I ain't got no time for that. That's okay, I'm just going to tell a little bit here. That's what he does. When I ask Pastor Bob to do something, he don't want to do it. He's like, I ain't got no time for that. I got work to do. No, this is the work we're going to do. Okay. Well, okay. So later on that day, we ended up taking out over 20 contractor bags full of stuff that we needed to get rid of. And, you know, as I was doing it, at first I was like, let's go, rock and roll, we're going to do this, you know, and he's over there. Well, as we started going through this process, I started feeling some kind of way, right? I was like, I ran across this pair of jeans that I used to wear way back in the day. And I was like, oh, I love, these are my favorite jeans. I'm gonna keep these. I'm gonna get back into those. I'm going to change. I'm going to get back into those, and I'm going to keep these jeans. I need to hold on to those. Y'all, them jeans ain't fit me since 2010 when we left Houston, okay? But as I kept going through this process, this feeling kept coming up that I had all these things. I'm going to change. One day I'm going to use that one day. I might need that scarf that I've worn twice. I can change. But the fact was, those things were taking up space, keeping me from being able to store stuff in my closet that I needed in my life. Sin is like that. We think, oh, I can just hang on to this. It's okay. God knows my heart. He's going to forgive me. So you hold on to stuff that you know you need to let go of. It could be an addiction. And an addiction is hard. It's like a tentacles in you. And even if you want to let go of it, you don't let go of it. It could be a habit, a relationship. It could even be a lifestyle. You know that sin is involved in that. God says it is. And it's coming between you and God, yet you're struggling to let go of it. Look, if that's you, I pray that this message encourages you, that it emboldens you, gives you courage and the strength to let go of some things, to get rid of some stuff, and not only that, to trust God with the fears that are gonna come up as you start to do that. Because here's the thing, at the end of the day, fear most of the time, is what keeps us holding on to things way too long, right, including sin in our lives. Right. I know what I'm talking about, y'all. I never am going to stand up here and tell you something that I have not gone through, that God hasn't gotten me through. I stayed in a sinful relationship way past the expiration date. And I did it because I was afraid of being alone. I didn't want to be alone. So I told myself, God knows my heart. He'll forgive me. And that is true. God does forgive when we repent. Repentance is not the same thing as saying, I'm sorry, forgive me. No. Nope, nope, nope. Repentance is making a conscious decision with the power of the Holy Spirit to turn completely away and leave that behind, and you don't keep the door open in case you decide to go back. That's repentance. That's hard to do. I know it's hard. I've been there. And it's going to require faith. Faith that God is who he says he is. That he will forgive you. And he will restore to you even better than whatever it is that you need to let go of. He does. He does. I promise you, God does. He gives us everything we need in this life. Like Michael said earlier, in the land of the living. That means right now. God will give you everything you need. But when you repent, he'll give you eternal life. But here's the thing. You got to get to that point where you're not allowing, you are allowing your sin to wreck you instead of pacifying you. I'm going to say that again. We have to get to the point where we allow sin to wreck us instead of pacifying us. That's the key. That's the key. We have to get to the point where sin actually grieves us. You cannot get comfortable living outside the boundaries of God's word. Because when you do, guys, it hardens your heart. All throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, God warns us not to harden our hearts. Actually, in Hebrews chapter 3, it says it twice in a row. Boom, boom. And then in Hebrews 3:13, it says this. Encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Notice what it says there. It says sin causes us to harden our heart. When you keep doing something that you know is sin, God said it's sin, you know it is, and you keep doing it like on purpose doing it, friend, your heart is hardening. So it won't be long before you start thinking that's not even a sin. Or worse. The Apostle Paul warned us about this. Worse, we start thinking that God's grace allows us to keep sinning. Apostle Paul said, God forbid I get to that point. We have to understand this, y'all. Sin is from Satan, period. And it always, always, always starts with temptation. The devil will tempt us to do sin. And then when we do, it's sin. And the Bible tells us, the devil is a deceiver. So sin, since it comes from him, is deceptive. And it will always lead to a hardened heart if we don't repent. Go back to Hebrews 3:13. This is the good thing about God. He always gives us a way out. It says that if we need to keep our hearts tender, this is how we do it. Believers, we got to stick together. We have to stick together. We have to give our relationship with each other a priority over all those other worldly friendships. Because you know what? With each other, there's biblical accountability. I got worldly friendships. I'm not saying nothing about nobody. Because you know what? When I need encouragement, hey, girl, you got this. You got. I need accountability. I need accountability. We need accountability. And in the church, we're going to be honest. We're going to be honest with each other. We're going to tell you when you need to go Marie Kondo on that sin in your life. Stop hanging on to it. But you got to hear this. You have to be willing to be held accountable. That's kind of hard. The verse says, encourage each other. And it's not talking about encouragement like telling you what you want to hear, or trying to make you feel better. Mm-mm-mm. That's not what encouragement means right there in that scripture. It means hold each other accountable. When we stay in close relationship with each other and we stay accountable, our chances of not letting sin harden our hearts, they get a whole lot better. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And you need a soft heart. Yeah. because that will allow sin to wreck you. We need to be wrecked by sin, y'all. Jesus said in Matthew 5:4 that when sin wrecks you, you're blessed. You'll flourish. And part of that blessing is comfort. It says, blessed are those who mourn because they will find comfort. And this is what comfort looks like. You heal, you find restoration, and you grow closer to God. You know, Psalm 41:3, I love the scripture because this is what it says. It says that the Lord sustains you on your sick bed. In your illness, God restores you to full health. That's not just talking about physical sickness. Because you know what? Sin makes us sick. I'm talking about a sickness of the heart. A sickness of the heart is a hard heart, a prideful heart, an offended heart, a rebellious heart. That's that heart that says, I want to do what I want to do. I'm not concerned if it bothers you. Come on. That's okay. Y'all can just look amen. I'm going to keep on preaching. It's okay. This isn't meant to be ugly and judgy. This is meant to give you the truth. I want your hearts to be wrecked by sin. God wants your hearts to be wrecked by sin. Because sin is a sickness. It's a sickness that gets in our heart. So when you're sick, what do? You go to the doctor, right? Well, guess what? Jesus is the great physician. In Mark 2:17, Jesus says this. He says, healthy people don't need a doctor. It's kind of like, duh, Jesus, we know that. Really? Because the next thing he says, sick people do. Okay. Then he goes on to say, I didn't come to invite good people to be my followers. I came to invite sinners. Jesus knows sin is a sickness. And he came to invite us to him to get healed. Psalm 41:3 is so beautiful because it tells us this. While we're sick in our sin, God starts the healing process. We have to surrender it, though. God's not waiting for you to get cleaned up before he starts healing you. God is not waiting for you to get it together before he starts the healing process. No, 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 no. God starts right where you are. On your sick bed. Sin makes us sick. Our own sin, but also the sins of others that hurt us. We need healing from the residuals of sin all the way around. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Because I know that might be like, what? What's she talking about? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. When I got married at 19, I thought I would never end up a battered wife. I was young. I was excited about life. I was so in love. And things went dark real fast. And my ex started beating me for any little thing. One time I didn't clean the beans right before I made beans. And he beat me so bad. He beat me one point, almost to the point of killing me. And when I finally did escape, y'all, I had all this anger and bitterness building up in my heart. And I didn't realize it. I was living from a broken heart, broken through his own sin. And it was building up anger and bitterness in my heart. And I never thought I needed to forgive him to be free from that. It didn't occur to me. And I remember talking to my priest at one time. That was back when I used to be Catholic. I used to talk to this priest, and he was really cool, right? And I went and I talked to him about this, and he said, you need to forgive him. I was like, did he not hear what I just told him? I thought, I can't do that. He needs to get right. And you know what? Because of all the anger and bitterness and hurt, I felt justified in holding on to unforgiveness towards my ex. And this went on for years, y'all, and my life was a mess. A mess. Everything I did just seemed like nothing ever worked out. I was doing my best to live a good life. And things were always a mess. And it's because I was walking around with the sin of unforgiveness in my heart towards my ex. And this was years later. And as long as I held on to that sin in my life, I could never expect to be blessed by God. To be blessed by healing. And that's what I needed. I needed the healing that only God could give. And when I decided to release that man and forgive him. And remember, forgiveness, you don't got to feel it. You just got to do it. And the more you pray for them and the more you make an intentional decision to forgive them, your heart will get in line with that. God honors obedience. So when I decided to obey God and release him and forgive him, that's when the healing began. Blessed are those who mourn over their own sin or the sin of others. They will find comfort. And you know what? Sometimes, y'all, healing is a process. We can't think it's a one and done. It's a process. And as I walked out my healing from that abuse, the abuse of my past, God showed me that healing is tied to repentance of all the sin in my life. All the sin. It wasn't just unforgiveness. It wasn't just that. You see, to escape the pain and the memories of all that trauma and all that abuse, I engaged in sin of my own. Stuff to numb the pain. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you hear what I'm talking about? Sin is evil. It's evil. And when we finally see it for what it really is, it'll wreck you. It will wreck you. Whether it's your sin or if it's sin of the world. When we're broken by sin, y'all, we are truly blessed. Blessed are those who mourn because they will find comfort. Yeah. Comfort is healing, but comfort is also restoration. Yeah. Psalm 23, I love that psalm. That's probably one of the first memory verses I ever had as a kid. Psalm 23:3, it says this. He restores my soul. He's talking about God. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God is all about restoration, y'all. Because he knows that sin robs us. Look, the Bible gives us clues. Straight up says, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give us abundant life now. Yeah. Now. Yes. So Satan's plan is to deceive us into living a life of sin. He wants our hearts to become hardened so that we never repent. And our lives are always a mess. And then we'll never, ever reach out for forgiveness. And we'll spend eternity without God. Everything beautiful in this world comes from God. Can you imagine forever without God? Absent of his love, absent of his beauty. That's what the devil's end game is all about. That's his end game. But here's the good news. God gets the last word. My God gets the last word. God gets the last word. He sent Jesus to die for our sin. All we have to do is repent. Turn around. Don't do it. And then ask God to work it out. Repent. Follow Jesus and let God bring healing and restoration into your life. There is nothing that you have lost that God cannot restore. I promise you that. And not only do I promise you that, he promises you that. Psalm 23:3, God says he restores. And he does it for his name's sake. His reputation is on the line here, y'all. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. You see, think about it. If somebody makes you a promise and then they go back on it, you don't trust them. Well, God wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust him. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not going to worship a God who don't keep his word. I'm not going to praise a God who doesn't keep his word. That's not the God I serve. My God keeps his promises. Mm. And not only that, oh, y'all better hear me on this one. Deuteronomy 7:9, Old Testament, okay? If people say, oh, don't worry about the Old Testament. No, you need to worry about the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 7:9 says that God, Yahweh, Elohim, is the only true God, and he keeps his covenant of love for thousands of generations to those who love and obey him. That's a caveat. You got to love him. You got to obey him. Right? Think about it, parents. When your kids do what you tell them to do, man, you'll give them the world. Makes you happy, right? God's our heavenly Father. Same thing. So look at that covenant of love. What is a covenant of love? Thank you for asking. It is a promise that we have a Savior in Jesus. He paid for our sins on the cross. And all we got to do is believe, repent, and then all of God's promises, they're ours. They're ours. God wants to fulfill his covenant of love with you. He wants that. So he's calling you to repentance so he can restore every single thing you lost and then some. And he does it for his name's sake so that the world is going to say, wow, God, look at what you did. He is the one true God. And God wants to restore what sin stole from you. He wants to restore it. Joel 2:25 says very clearly that God will restore what we've lost. Joel in the Old Testament, 2:25. I will restore. That's what God says. And you know what the beauty of that is? That includes time. Time. You know, sometimes you say, oh, I wasted all those years. With God, you ain't wasted nothing. Because God will restore. And other where in Scripture, it says minimum double for your trouble. Yeah. Look at Job. Yeah. God restores. He's into the business of restoration. And he will restore time. When you truly repent, live with a heart broken by sin, God will restore the years that you lost to sin. Right. I spent decades living in sin, far away from God. But by the time I truly surrendered my life to Jesus, I thought, man, I wasted all those years. I'll never get them back. I didn't even think I wanted them back, really. But what about all that time I wasted? Have you ever asked yourself that? Have you ever thought that? God, I wasted so much time. No. God made a promise. He redeems time. He redeems time. He restores what you lost. I am living in my redemption restoration story right now. Don't tell me he won't do it. My God, he keeps his word. God keeps his word to the thousands of generations. He does it for his name's sake. He did it for me. He'll do it for you too. When you allow sin to grieve your spirit to the point of mourning the evil that it is, you're blessed because God will bring comfort to that sorrow. God will heal you. He'll restore what sin stole from you. And when you are mourning over the sin, God draws you closer to him. You know, I hear people ask all the time, why do bad things happen in this world? Why do the innocent people have these horrible things happening? Why does God allow pain and suffering? I can't tell how many times I've heard that. And the answer is really simple, y'all. We live in a fallen world, a world racked with sin. And Satan isn't taking a break, y'all. In fact, lately, it seems like he's kind of ratcheting it up. Murdering babies. They call it reproductive rights now. That's not what it is. God calls it sin. And it's something to mourn. When a baby doesn't get a chance to live the purpose that God has for its life, we got to mourn over that, y'all. We got to be broken by that. And I want to say this. If you've been involved in abortion, I'm not trying to shame you. There is no shame in God's presence. I know the depth of that pain. Abortion has affected our family. I know what that's like. But I also know that God brings comfort, healing, and restoration, and he'll bring it to that whole situation. There's something about mourning, pouring your heart out to a beautiful, loving God, opening up a broken and contrite heart and just laying it at the feet of Jesus. There's something about that. It just draws you closer to God. I love that song we sang, everything at the feet of Jesus. We can lay it all at the feet of Jesus. Wow. Think about that. Death is hard, y'all. It's been hard for me. Death is a hard thing. In just a couple of years, four people that I loved a lot, just one after the other, suddenly, without a clue, unexpectedly. You know, when my mom died suddenly, I was much better equipped to deal with that than I was when my dad died. And you want to know why? It's because of my relationship with Jesus. I knew where my comfort could be found. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, I lift my eyes to the hill. That's where my comfort comes from. I lift my eyes. Your comfort comes from Jesus. And even in my mourning over the death in my life, that's worldly sorrow. But God still brought peace and healing into that when I gave it to Him. And since we have a God who loves us and has infinite mercy and grace, that He brings comfort into our everyday human experiences, don't you just know that He'll do it when our hearts are broken by sin? When our hearts are broken for what breaks His. And sin breaks God's heart, y'all. It's because it separates us from Him, and He doesn't want us to be separated from Him. He created us for a relationship with Him. Sin puts a chasm in that relationship. So God gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will prompt you when you're tempted to sin. You know, it's that feeling where, oh, I probably shouldn't do that. That's the Holy Spirit prompting you. Same Holy Spirit that'll prompt you to give your life to Jesus. The Holy Spirit prompts you. And even if you fall into that temptation and you sin, God is right there ready to forgive. And not only does He want to forgive, He wants to heal. He wants to heal the pain of the sin. So you got to listen to that still, small voice. You got to let it speak to you. Don't let the deception of sin cause your heart to harden and drown out that voice of conviction. When God speaks to your heart and tells you to let go of some things, let it go, friend. Let it go. Because I promise you that you will never give up anything for God that He won't give you back over and over and over again, and it's gonna be better. Better. It'll be life-giving. It'll lead to eternal life. It won't lead to death. Blessed are those who mourn. They will find comfort. When you mourn over the bitter fruit of sin, shame, guilt, regret, bondage, addiction, when you mourn over that bitter fruit of sin in your own life and in the world, God brings comfort to your heart. He will bring healing to the places in your life that have been broken by sin. And He'll restore every single thing the enemy stole from you, including time. And as you give that to God and draw closer to Him, He will always draw close to you. Let me pray for us. Bow your heads, please. God, I just thank You for who You are. You love us so much. You never leave us away alone in our sin. You always give us a way out. God, thank You for Your mercy, for Your love, for Your kindness, for Your restoration, for Your healing. Lord, thank You that even when we fall, You're always there to pick us back up. God, I thank You for that. Lord, thank You for never turning Your back on me. Lord, I thank You for who You are. And God, I know right now there are people in this room that think maybe they've gone too far. Maybe they wasted a lot of time. Lord, open up their eyes of understanding and let them know they didn't go too far. Even if they're in it now, they're not too deep. Lord, I pray that You just let Your love flow down over them and remind them of who You are. You're a good Father. good, loving Father. The only thing you want from us is our heart. God, I pray that you break our hearts for what breaks yours. Lord, even the sin in the world, Father, we're not meant to carry all of that on us. And as that bothers us, as that grieves us, Father, we give that to you. And we thank you for healing and restoration and comfort. I love you, God. I thank you for your word. I pray it sinks down into our hearts and that we're all changed by it, by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Just stay in this moment. Right now, just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you will, please. The Holy Spirit is here, y'all. His presence is so thick in this room. And I know that he brings healing. I know that he blows shame out of the water. If you are feeling shame for anything that you've done, maybe what you're doing right now, shame is not from God, friend. Shame is not something God has for you. He has hope. He has healing. He has encouragement. He wants you to know that he sees you. He's got you in the palm of his hands, and you've never gone too far where his love and his mercy and his forgiveness cannot reach you. Maybe, you know, you've been abused and your heart is broken. And so now you've kind of put these walls up and you're pushing away people and you won't receive and you don't trust and you're just jaded. If that's you, friend, I ask you right now, put that at the feet of Jesus. God wants you to give that to him and receive healing, receive love, receive restoration. He wants to take a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, because he knows that if you have a heart of flesh, you will be able to receive salvation. You'll be able to receive every good thing that God has for you. And if you've never made a decision to ask Jesus into your heart, let today be that day you do that. Let today be the day you say, God, I'm done. I'm done trying to change. I can't change. I'm trying so hard to do the best I can, and it's not working out. If that's you, friend, all you got to do is pray a simple prayer, and Jesus will come into your heart, and he will forgive you, and he will restore everything the enemy stole from you. He can restore your innocence. God is that powerful. But you have to repent. What got you there? What sin got you there? Repent of it, friend. Leave it at Jesus' feet. Turn around. Make a decision in your heart. You're never going back. If that's you, pray this simple prayer after me, and you will be born again. This is what you say. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me and wash me clean. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to clap. Let's clap. We celebrate. The Bible says heaven celebrates when one person turns their life back to Jesus. So we're going to celebrate that. Full tithe into the storehouse and then you're good. So if you prayed that prayer earlier and you gave your life to Jesus, we have someone in the back who has a little booklet for you that they want to give you to kind of explain your next steps as you walk out this new life in Christ. And they're also there if you need prayer for anything. So don't leave today if you don't get prayer, okay? So if you'll stand, I would love to bless you before you leave. But before that, I need to tell you, if you're going to stay for building blocks after service, we're going to meet right here in front of the auditorium after service. If you have children that are in next gen and they are 9 years old and under, you will need to leave them there. But if you have children that are 10 and up in next gen and you're going to stay, please go grab them and bring them in here with you. And we're going to have little snacks for them in here, so you don't got to worry about them starving or anything like that. So if you're going to stay and you have children over there, 9 and under, leave them. Let them stay checked in. And then if they're older than that, go get them, bring them in here, right? Okay, let me bless you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless your people, that you just make your face shine upon them. You give them peace. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray it changes us all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So go out, pursue God, and love people.